So here we are, 2017. I've got Commissioner Brian DeLoge with me in the second hour. We'll talk about Leon County. He's Commissioner for District 4, Leon County. Soren is in studio talking about all things contemporary regarding music and art, his own career. You're going to enjoy hearing about all of his work. So stay with me for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
If Santa missed something on your list, get it now at Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale. Save hundreds of dollars on items throughout the store. Save $60 on a keyless entry system. Now only $299.95. Most vehicles or a complete bed protection package with bed liner, bed caps, and tailgate cap. Only $299.95.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty.
Don't take chances. Our professional installers do it right the first time.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale on Mahan Drive across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. 656-8800.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
I've got my plans made. I've got my tax paid. I'm building steam, and baby, you could see me go, because I'm a freight train, yeah.
Perhaps you have assembled your list of resolutions for 2017. I have a few notable. I have resolved to be a bit more serious, I suppose, in my conversations with our guests. I feel like I'm often given to a sort of four-year-old approach to what I do. I don't know that that's something I can fix, but I'm going to give it my best. It helps when I have very serious-minded, is that right? Seriously-minded folks like Soren in studio with me. This guy's a deep thinker. Talking about his music, his career as a songwriter, performer, vocalist, instrumentalist, composer. I mean, wow. Multi-threat, we'd say. He's a visual artist. Massive volume of work spanning a couple of decades or better. Originally from Tallahassee, now lives in Los Angeles. Get his thoughts about the art world as it is, especially experimental art, outsider kind of stuff, and where we are, culturally speaking, in relation to our own concepts of art and music and creativity and how that is impacted by internet realities, the fact that this is an industry as such that is no longer an industry as such. It doesn't work the way it did. Certainly not when I was a little kid. You know, record companies that don't have the sway that they did at one time. So being signed with a label, not such a big deal anymore. I mean, it is a big deal, but it doesn't have the same sort of impact. And it's certainly not the only way for an aspiring artist, musician, creator of some kind to find their way in the world. And he's a good example. And we have great examples around us here in our own community. I found this neat little gallery called Soup Experimental. You familiar with these? They started just now, a year ago, back in February. Kind of a cool thing. A guy named Ashton Bird, an installation artist who works in mixed media as a printmaker and sculptor and such. Student over there at Florida State University, their Master of Fine Arts program at FSU, starts this little gallery, Soup Experimental. And in fact, they have an opening that's going on. It started last night, and they're only open on Fridays and Saturdays, by the way. in the evening, so like from 5 to 9. So last night was their opening of this exhibit called Fruit One. Very interesting. So you can check that out tonight down there in Railroad Square, the whole Railroad Square Park environment going on tonight. Soup One, I beg your pardon, Fruit One, Soup Experimental is the name of the gallery. And this particular exhibit, Fruit One, goes, let's see, through the 26th of this month. I believe that's right. And looks to be rather provocative, rather interesting. So here are some individual dates and times for you beyond their normal hours. So this is a modification. So tonight from 5 to 9, next Friday and Saturday. Okay, yeah, so no, I was right the first time. So it is from 5 to 9 on Fridays and Saturday nights. Fruit One, juried exhibition, from the 6th to the 26th of this month. Looks like $10. No, is there an admission price? I don't think so. The $10 was for submissions of work. Beg your pardon. All right, well, you can check them out online. You go to soupexperimental.com. Simple enough. Find out all about what they do and what they're doing to try to bring contemporary experimental art in connection with or in exposure to our community, trying to bridge that gap. Kudos to them for that effort. As I say, Soren will be with us through in this first hour to talk at length about such enterprise and how it is that as a young artist he has had to find his way in what is a very competitive world, and living out there in Los Angeles. Interesting, his strategy too. He'll talk about mixed media, I mean, between visual art and music and theater, craftiness of how to survive and how does one support oneself. So far, so good. He's done a remarkable job in creating that. You know, financial outcomes, right, are always part of the whole question for all of us. Would that we could simply do what we do and love doing it, and everyone would want what we have to offer, and somehow we get paid to do that. Many times you find people doing things they really don't enjoy doing, but it's how they pay the bills. And then somehow, some way, they find a release somewhere of their creative sense. Maybe they play Ultimate, or maybe they play video games, or maybe they are creative in some other endeavor that is really their outlet, we might say. Well, Soren will speak to that, by the way, when I ask him about how creativity in everyday life can help keep us all from losing our minds, if nothing else. Keep us plugged in. Keep us aware. And aware of one another. And by the way, that's what COCA does. That's why I bring to your attention this work down there at Railroad Square, Soup Experimental. COCA, you know, is the Council on Culture and Arts. Great little organization. You can find them online. TallahasseeArts.org. You ought to do that. It's a great way of being plugged in, staying aware. I mean, for example, did you know Verdi's Nabucco is being performed on a theater screen? This is a live performance of the Met, if you're into opera, Metropolitan Opera, featuring the legendary Plácido Domingo. And he brings to us another role within the family of the Met under the baton of his longtime collaborator, James Levine, This is the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, Nabucco, written by Giuseppe Verdi. So anyway, that's happening on a movie screen. I think it starts this afternoon, like around 1 o'clock. You can check that out. Tickets are $28, or $25.80. All you got to do is go to COCA, and you can find all those kind of neat things going on. TallahasseeArts.org. I encourage you to do so. Speaking of financial outcomes, we invited local financial planner and a person that I've known for a long time, Elliot Rosenberg, to be in our business spotlight. So stay with me for that. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. Brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development. Miriam Dady is out this week. I'm Brian Cerny with a very special guest in our Business Spotlight. This is Elliot Rosenberg. He is with the Rosenberg Financial Group. How are you, sir? Good to have you with us.
Brian, good to be here.
I mean, and for the sake of all who don't know my background, Elliot and I go back,
25 years
easily,
at least.
Easily. And, you know, it's like we like to say, ugly just never dies. And so here we are.
Rose-colored glasses.
A couple of guys who continue to find value in one another. Let me just tell you a little bit about Elliot. Over 35 years as a financial planner, he has been in the trenches with a lot of clients who have, like the rest of us, walked through some of the best of times and some of the worst of times.
That's the truth.
And he graduated as a business major from Florida State University, spent the first part of his career working with other financial planning firms, and then started his own firm just about 25 years ago. You created your enterprise from the ground up. When you sit with a client these days and you're trying to give them good advice, what's the downbeat? What do you want them to consider?
What I want them to consider is that life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And in a marathon, there's ups and downs, there's scenery to look at, things change. What is as you run that marathon, the early part might have ponds and streams. Next part might be tall buildings that you're looking at over that 26-plus mile run.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different terrain. And where you are, let's say, in your 50s will be different from your 70s, your 80s, or your 90s.
Okay.
So when we design programs, the whole idea is let's look at something which over the long term will work as opposed to having a total sprint mentality. What's the best for me today,
okay,
which may actually hinder you tomorrow.
And I noticed, too, in reading a little bit about your firm, that you advocate alternative investments. The stock market has been going crazy. We've seen some record highs in its history. Does that mean I should be running out and buying stock right now, or do I need to take a step back and consider other choices, other alternatives?
That's a real good question, and that's sort of a tough one to answer, Brian, because it's all personal. But on a general standpoint, everything I'm reading from the experts say the stock market's going to be good this year. And I think so as well. You have the things which the fly in the ointment, who bombs what, which will always affect things.
World catastrophes.
But as a whole, a balanced approach of putting some money in the stock market makes sense, but at the same time, there are so many opportunities totally away from the stock market that are steady.
What I noticed too, yeah, I noticed in your portfolio here, or this publication that I guess is put out by Strategic Capital.
Right.
Rather intriguing, Ivy League endowment funds.
Ivy League endowments, yes. They invest so differently than the average investor. The typical investor, if he has a stock broker, will buy stocks and bonds, have some money in cash.
Right.
The average endowment has about 50% of their money totally away from those areas.
Huh.
They put their money in things that you and I go to. Brian, I know since you're married, you're going to go to Publix.
Once or twice.
At least you and I are both a little bit on the north side of 200
Costco,
pounds. So
right,
we go to Costco.
We like groceries.
And we go to Bass Outlet, perhaps. Yeah. Well, we get our packages delivered from FedEx.
Yeah.
We live in apartment buildings.
Right.
We go to Lowe's, Home Depot, places like that.
Okay. And that means what for me as an investor?
For you as an investor, instead of just shopping there, there are vehicles, the same type of vehicles that endowments use. And you could actually own these.
Hmm. That are tied in with these very practical,
they
very
own FedEx,
real.
They own CVS, they own Walgreens, they own Publix.
Wow.
If you're up north, they'd own the Kroger's and the Ingles.
Okay.
So it's a way of investing some money in things that make sense because it's where you spend your money.
And so not only are you getting a reasonable return, most likely, no guarantees, of course, but You're in for the long haul because these are enterprises that are fairly stable, generally speaking.
Right.
I mean, grocery stores aren't going away anytime soon.
Exactly. Good times, bad times, I'm eating.
Yeah.
If the stock market is up or stock market's down, if I need a prescription drug because the doctor says I need it to live, I'm going to buy the sucker.
Yeah. And so the pharmaceutical... that is the drug stores, right?
Yeah.
Not a bad place to look. When you sit with somebody who has never done any real deliberate planning, financial planning, at any juncture in life, what's a good starting point for you? How do you get
good starting point is, first of all, we're educators.
Hmm.
We understand that each of us has our own area of expertise where we're very, very good at. Other areas... we are, in essence, dummies because it's not what we do. It's not what we do. So chances are, if you get totally educated on it, you'll understand it from here to the door, and that's about it, which is why we have experts in different areas. So what we try to do with our clients or prospective clients, we sit down, find out where they are, find out why they've invested the way they have or why they've never invested. And quite often the reason they've never invested is none of us like to appear incompetent. You know, it's just like years ago, we had a birthday party at my house for one of the professors in the history department.
Right.
He's a very, very good friend of mine. And it was my own house. But everybody in the party was talking about, well, did you study how France acted in this year or how Germany acted? I have no idea what they're talking about. So I found a couple of the wives and I started talking about, hey, there's a good glass of wine.
We like to talk about the stuff we know.
Yeah, and we don't want to look like an idiot.
Uh-huh.
And I find...
I struggle with that myself.
Well, I understand that, Brian. I've known you. But, you know, I have clients that will come in with virtually nothing and other clients that will come in with millions.
Mm.
And the thing that I hear in common from both is I'm sort of embarrassed with where I am at this stage of my life.
So your job at that moment is to reduce that level of embarrassment to say, look, man, we're all on this thing together.
Right.
And let's begin learning now what we can do.
Exactly. Yeah, what are you trying to do? And let me help you get there.
Right. So, Elliot Rosenberg with the Rosenberg Financial Group, LLC, our guest today here in the Business Spotlight. Mr. Rosenberg, thank you for being with us.
Enjoyed it, Brian.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
You can find him online at therosenbergfinancialgroupllc.com. For Tallahassee Business Spotlight, I'm Brian Cerny.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The art world, the music world in our time is marked with all kinds of innovation. And we've got the opportunity this morning to talk with Soren. He's here with us in studio. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you. Happy holidays. Happy 2017. The rare opportunity we get to have you with us affords me this moment when I can kind of pick at you with your observations about music and art and even some broader questions about American culture, kind of where you see us headed. You've been in this business now for a good number of years. Mm-hmm. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're looking at about 20, 25 years that you've been at your craft. And you make your home in Los Angeles now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Los Angeles.
You've been there how long?
Moved to L.A., April of 2015.
So almost 2 years then.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But
different scene. You were in Austin for a good decade or so. Mm-hmm. Austin and Los Angeles are quite different, or are they parallel?
I think there's always overlap between these places. LA is obviously a much larger hub. Austin seems to be a place where people from major metropolises like New York and LA go when they want to take a break from the bigger city.
I've heard it said that if you go to a party in Austin, there'll be one or two people that are in the business, right? And you go to L.A., everybody at the party is in the business.
Yep, it's a bigger pond.
Yeah.
And for me, it's been great because I went to L.A. with a specific thing to give. And I feel like that's a big difference. You know, a lot of people go to L.A. to get something. To get famous, to get wealthy, whatever the thing is. And in deciding to make that move, for me, it was very much a conscious choice to say, I want to give something to this place. Mm. Because I believe in the relationship and the creative conversation with other working professional creatives. Mm. And so in going in with that attitude, I feel like I've been able to quickly meet some pretty amazing folks just within the first year or 2 years.
And was it clear to you in making the move, you say you had in mind this motive to give, was it specific enough to say this is what I want to bring, or were you simply sort of pitched that way?
I think there's some specific things there, yeah. I've been working this multimedia opera experience that I call House of Stone. And so, you know, the initial impetus was to bring that to LA because of the fact that I have visions of it becoming a graphic novel and a film or a TV series, something greater than just a series of albums or a stage show.
So it's all coming together in that process. Yeah.
And I think right now, Los Angeles is the place where you really do have the freedom and the ability to explore crossing through and breaking through different genre boundaries, mediums, more so, in my opinion, than New York, at least in the U.S. And so having that specific thing, I definitely had some people in mind that I wanted to try and connect with. So the plan of action was very focused. And yet also, there's some more open-ended things, like, you know, getting into composing for film and TV was another aspect of this whole thing.
Yeah.
So by having the specific list of people and objectives, it made it very organic to get into the certain circles I was trying to penetrate.
Is there a tension between the work that you do and doing the creative side of things and being in a creative process with moving your position, moving yourself forward into these circles? I mean, do you find yourself trying to juggle between I've got to make these connections, and in doing so advance my work, and I have to make sure that I'm being loyal to this vision I have for the work itself? I mean, do you find yourself in conflict with that, or is there any kind of tension there?
It's certainly a juggling act. I think it requires a lot of focus and self-discipline. You know, the creative part of the brain for me has always been interconnected into the more pragmatic parts of the brain. So I feel like, if anything, it actually helps to be able to disengage from having to write music or create something visual or develop a live performance or write lyrics. It helps to disengage from that and become the entrepreneur or become the socialite. I find that it's sort of a way to recharge that part, because if I was just sitting at a desk pushing and pushing and pushing, things I find, at least from my practice, become stale. So
you actually find it a bit vitalizing, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and that's also another reason why I think over the years it's been more effortless for me to move between mediums as right. opposed to just being a songwriter.
Right. And you've done that remarkably, in my view, because it seems as though you haven't given up on any one aspect of, I mean, I've seen the videos, your visual art itself, you've sold a number of the works that you've done over the years. So you, in your own position as an artist, you've been able to present that at the same time that you have this recording background and as a vocalist and a songwriter and performer, you're all this going on at the same time, and it doesn't seem like one part of the process is ignored by having focused on another.
Yeah, you know, and that's helped and hindered, I think. You know, it's been a slower climb. But I find that I'm happy, and to me, I made a decision before even moving to Los Angeles that I would be in my happiness as opposed to what I had been doing, which was, you know, really just in that rat race for end game. Mm. And when that shift happened, I found that everything became sweeter.
And you're a big fan of guys like Trent Reznor, and I mean, those are folks who had that sort of single purpose, meteoric sort of rise, and you know, that's what he did. And so for you to model that, or model after that, or follow after that path might be difficult.
Well, for one thing, that guy came up at a time when the record industry was still making records and selling records. And, you know, it made it easy for him, you know, once he was signed to a major label, to have that momentum because he had the infrastructure. Today's climate, it's a much different thing for a musician.
Really?
So there's no money to be made in music
because
in that
way. The record companies don't have the sway they did at one time.
So unless you have the leverage of a fan base, you're scraping by.
And that's because of the internet.
Right. You know, say. Right. And I would say that a big choice for me to diversify was really a means of survival. It was it was to be able to have these revenue streams that collectively over the years I could rely on as I built my name. In doing that, I've been able to be a full-time working artist, which is a hard thing for anybody to do out the gate without any kind of infrastructure representation. And so the things that I modeled after with Mr. Trent Reznor were the way in which he created his work, the ways in which he engaged his fans, I felt like he adapted. As that industry shifted, he also shifted, and I think that's very important moving forward.
When you look at art and music in 2017, the character of American art and music, I'd like to have you talk with us about that when we get back from this break. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've got Sorn in the house, and we'll be back with more right after this.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and talking with Soren about music and art in 2017. Trends in music. Are there any that you can, because it seems like for every artist, there's another categorization now.
Right.
Right?
Seems like genre is kind of a bygone idea at this point. There's so much cross-pollination with the internet, and that you're really just dealing with, I would say, personal expression. And the big thing that I am after in the year to come is to create work that is not safe. There's so much out there that's very polite, and I feel like a lot of the people that I admire anyway are speaking about that right now, and how the good work really makes you make a decision in the moment that you experience it. You either love it or you hate it. You're offended or you're inspired. And I think that we need more of that. And so I feel like with the stuff I've been writing, there is that element of danger.
So the politeness might be showing deference to rules within the art world or music world or even broader cultural rules and things you say and don't say. Or where do you see that falling?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we live in a time when we have to be very sensitive to everybody. And while I have deep respect for all walks of life, I also think it's important to think critically. And critical thinking, it has been attacked almost singularly by the smartphone, and the rise of the internet, allowing for people to not have the need to problem solve on their own. You can pick that phone up and look at it and figure out what you need. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I also think it's important to keep it in balance.
What is the danger there? That we become over-reliant and less thinking people?
Or? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening already. Critical thinking is out the door. You know, that it's what's made people like me have to work harder because, I want to be challenged mentally. I want to be made to ask the question, what is it? And the stuff I respond to in the arts, whether it's pop entertainment or the most avant-garde piece, always has an element of what is it?
Yeah.
To me, that's just like good exercise. It's keeping your brain active.
Thinking of those who are contemporaries, who are some of those visual artists that make you ask those questions that come to mind?
One of the people I've always admired is Anselm Kiefer. He's a German post-contemporary painter, and he's used all kinds of materials in his pieces. His work evokes that. In the music world, composers like Arvo Pärt give you that. In the theater world, the playwright and choreographer Robert Wilson is another. In the pop world, I think people like Bjork have been able to ride that line of creating work that is thought-provoking and original, but also appealing to a larger audience.
And for you in that creative process, do you derive directly from these folks, or is it just a general sort of inspiration that makes you be you more than what you've been, perhaps?
I think these people are merely coordinates on a map.
Mm.
And there's so many points of reference. For me to list off would take long time.
No doubt.
But, it's all points of perspective. It's like, this person is over here, this other person is here, and I can more clearly figure out where I sit in that spectrum.
But you would say that in common, they have this notion among them that says, ask the question.
Yeah.
And the art needs to get at the question.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's a balance, too, that has to be struck. I find that when you can find that balance in a film or a piece of music or visual art, whatever it is, there's enough of a foothold in the work where you don't have to read a textbook to understand it. You can respond. But then there's also the evidence of something deeper. And that's good work. When it begs the question, but also
keeps you
engages
engaged.
The mind and body. Yep.
Yeah.
That's good work.
Yeah.
And I that's what I seek to do in my work.
These days, that work has taken on what I think you've referred to as a frenetic styling, or at least there's been a good deal of that going on with what you do. I've seen a number of the videos where you're doing chalk drawings, street drawings. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
It was originally inspired by a book written by a professor of African studies, Robert Ferris Thompson. He wrote a book years ago called Flash of the Spirit. And I read that book, and it really changed my life, because in it he traces the origins of Western entertainment and culture back to specific tribes in Africa.
Wow.
And in that journey, he stops in Haiti, and he talks about the veves, these prayer drawings that the Vodun priests and priestesses would do using cornmeal or bone marrow to call forth these different orishas and the loas that they're depicting. And all. And so to me, the beauty in it was you see the evidence of human beings taking different traditions. You know, for them, it was African mysticism and Catholicism and astrology and other things, and mixing it into this new soup to create this beautiful, unique flavor. So with that being said, my take on that is I want to create my own personal culture. I'm not recreating their images. I'm inventing my own language based on my personal experience. And so these chalk drawings, these line drawings, are me building vocal layers using looping and things like that.
Right.
While also creating lines that reflect that sound. Or, you know, if I do these on huge canvases for an art show, the people that experience the musicality of it are so moved at times that they are weeping. And I think it's because there's something in us, something in the cultural diet that's missing that this work is seeking to satiate.
You started our conversation by talking about your move to L.A. with this intent that you wanted to give. And I think you've helped us understand better what it is that you're trying to give us as a people, that in fact we find meaning in our own art,
mm-hmm.
in whatever way we're creating it.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be a visual piece or a song. It could be a garden. It could be a new cabinet if you're a wood maker.
Yeah.
It could be...
Or a meal that you're preparing.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
A meal you're preparing, a child that you're educating, a friend that you are helping. You know, it's how are we taking what we're experiencing and creating? And also... doing a little bit of digging to create our own personal culture.
Mm. Folks, this is an opportunity for us to think a bit more seriously about our own creative opportunities and motives and those expressions that we find in our everyday life. We have with us Sorn. Again, you can find him online at sorn.com, S-O-R-N-E. My friend, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure as always.
And we'll make sure that we have you back here. You're going to be back in March, I think, at the Okeechobee Festival, so maybe we can snag you then.
That sounds great.
Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If Santa missed something on your list, get it now at Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale. Save hundreds of dollars on items throughout the store. Save $60 on a keyless entry system. Now only $299.95. Most vehicles or a complete bed protection package with bed liner, bed caps, and tailgate cap. Only $299.95.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty.
Don't take chances. Our professional installers do it right the first time.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale on Mahan Drive across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. 656 8800.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. We are here in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've already had conversation with Sorn at length regarding his work as a musician, an artist, performer, creator. When it comes to the business of creativity, we have our own form of creativity going on, our own stylings going on at a broader level than what might show up in a gallery somewhere. And that has to do with how, in fact, Leon County, the city of Tallahassee, is being reshaped and refashioned, expanded, redefined. If art does nothing else, it gets us to ask questions, and perhaps that is the most fundamental aspect of what really makes something a work of art, is that it leaves you asking questions more than providing you answers. And there are many of those kinds of things going on around Tallahassee. What is this that we are, and what are we doing with this part of what we do, whether it's entertainment, recreation, if it's our park system, if it is the infrastructure at large, if it's how we get around this town, the roadways and such, or how we manage resources, or how we deal with crisis. We're going to talk with Commissioner Brian DeLoge about all that stuff, because he knows stuff. He's been at it for a while. Leon County Commissioner for District 4, and rather newly elected president of the National Association of Counties. I believe that's right. Anyway, well, he'll talk about his role as president of this national organization and his contribution here ongoing with Leon County government and serving the good people who look to him along with the other commissioners for creativity, coming up with an idea about how to make things better, how to get us pointed in the right direction when it comes to living out our lives, enjoying what we work so hard to try to provide and preserve and advance, right? Innovations in education. Leon Works is a good example. His colleague, Marianne Lindley, having been inspired at a meeting of the National Association of Counties, right? She came back and said, well, we can do this. We can create an enterprise that would move high school students into programs, educational programs, that are focused on tradesmanship, craftsmanship, right? So, you know, contracting kind of work, air conditioners and builders and, I mean, the air conditioning contractors and people who are in construction work, builders and such. You know what I mean? Tradesmen, we'd say. Well, that's what's going on. Leon Works is happening. And already there's been a tremendous response. The influx of folks in that program. And Commissioner DeLoge will talk with us about that and other projects. Near and dear to his heart, of course, the park system, and some of the trails and such around that he's had a firsthand role in helping us establish. And there's even some other things on the horizon that he'll talk about, furthering that effort, in which we take advantage of this magnificent natural setting we find ourselves in here, North Florida. So we have Commissioner DeLoge talking with us at length through this second hour of the show. And whatever you have in your plans for 2017, I hope that it will include our broadcast. We'd like to think that you'll continue listening in from time to time. A little housekeeping here for you. In fact, if you've missed one of our broadcasts, I'll remind you, you can find us at TallahasseeTalks.com. We've archived all of these conversations we've had with hundreds and hundreds, now into the thousands, actually. In fact, next month we will have completed 6 years on the air. Absolutely. Began in 2011, February of 2011. 6 years, and in all those years we have talked with a host of people, all with a particular story to tell. And that's kind of how we see ourselves here. We are story relators, storytellers, yes, but most importantly, I want you to hear the stories that come up from the people that we get to talk to. I mean, I'm always more interested in what other people have to say. I mean, I know what I think, and I get rather bored with that. But I don't know what you think, and I want to know what it is that you bring to the table. And each one of us have something to contribute, a story to tell. So we do our very best to bring you those folks with their stories in hand and sharing their passion, their inspiration, or their frustration, their vision, some of their wins, some of their losses, in all kinds of ways. I mean, from science to education, athletics, arts and entertainment, all kinds of ways in our business community, people who in our business spotlight feature bring to us their own story, why they do what they do. Or maybe it's in the realm of social services, people who are contributing to the welfare of those who are perhaps less fortunate or in need of some kind of direct intervention. A lot of that kind of work goes on in this town. Everything from feeding hungry folks to helping them out at Christmas time or maybe finding them a place to live. So there's all kinds of that work, or getting them plugged into financial opportunities. Michelle Gomez down there in Frenchtown doing a great work there with their marketplace, farmers market and the hub down there that she's created. It's not easy work, by the way. It doesn't just happen. Takes a lot of dedication from a lot of people. So as we bring you those stories, we hope that you'll stay with us from week to week. And going forward here in 2017, man, we've got a fantastic lineup of people already that will bring us news of their work. A guy named Eric Clark will be with me next week, next Saturday. This guy is CEO for the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Program. You're talking about people in need, people at risk. How about kids who have been declared a ward of the state or who are within the court system and are in need of protection? So when the court has to rule on behalf of this child and what is in that child's best interest, the Guardian Ad Litem Program is there with representation, people who are providing that foster care and can speak on behalf of the child for the sake of the court's best intentions. That's guardian ad litem. We're going to learn about that next week with Eric Clark. You stay with me. I've got Brian DeLoge standing by. And I will also remind you that if you have a topic or a guest you'd like us to consider, you can email us topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. And recall that we are simulcast. So if you'd like to, you can listen on Saturday night to MooseMagnificat.com at 9:30. We're on the air with that station. And again on Wednesday afternoons at 5:30, MooseMagnificat.com. So here we are, ready to move forward. You stay with me. More Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny up ahead.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Once in a while, we are fortunate enough to bring to you someone who we very much appreciate and enjoy, and somebody who, because he's so enjoyable and in high demand and continues all of the duties that he carries on, it's not easy. And so we have with us Commissioner Brian DeLoge, who the clouds parted. We had an opportunity. He's here. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
This is like your annual trek, right? Your annual visit. You've been to the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro. We know that.
Uh-huh.
And now you're back here with us to report on
right. All
of your travels. And for those who don't know, I should also mention that he is newly elected president of the National Association of Counties, right?
Yep.
And we're going to learn all about what that entails.
Absolutely.
And what were you thinking when you did that? But nonetheless, he's been serving the good people of Leon County District 4 Commissioner for, I don't know.
10 years, yeah.
I was going to say a decade.
Pretty good.
You were like 18 when you started or something, right? So here you are. You're still doing that.
Yeah.
And for those who may not know this, District 4 pretty much is that I like to think of it as the Market Square sort of part of town, right up there, North Thomasville Road, but not quite as far as Bradfordville, I think, right? Or does it go that far?
It's north of I-10 east of Meridian. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, in fact, I was just in Bradfordville, so that's actually
okay.
Where,
so
part of my
district. That is part of your constituency.
Had, had lunch at Bradley's. Yeah.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've had lunch at the Miccosukee Root Cellar.
Absolutely.
Well,
one of my
place?
Favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down at Uptown and Miccosukee Root Cellar pretty often. Yeah, I'm a big fan of some of the local restaurants.
We've had a good run of them, too. For those who may have taken note, Miccosukee Root Cellar is on the cover of the summer edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine. And this young couple that have this farm-to-table concept, which is not an unpopular idea, coming on strong in the Tallahassee area. You've got several examples of that. They, for me, represent a kind of new enterprise, right? The entrepreneurial, but doing it in a way that is not just startup, it's taking a different concept to bear.
And the farm-to-table thing is kind of sweeping the country. There's a group actually out of the West Coast called Outstanding in the Field. If you haven't heard of them, it's unbelievable. They've been in business or in practice for probably a decade, and they do these single, like the longest table event that we have here in Tallahassee is a bit of a spinoff on what they're doing. And it's chef out of San Francisco shows up, enlist a bunch of local chefs for the in the area. They sell seats. There's 150, 200 seats at one long table.
Sweet.
In some vineyard, beach, farm, and it's a spectacular setting, and it's all generally local within a 50-mile radius, give or take, and they put a dinner together. And it's a fascinating event. We've been to two or three of them around the country, around the South.
When you say we, those of you who are part of the National Association,
no,
or just on behalf
just
of
friends
of yours?
Yeah, family and friends that have made these trips. And it's just a neat thing to do. When you start talking about farm to table, this guy has taken it to a new level. So, and the pictures on his website and Facebook page in Outstanding in the Field is spectacular. Yeah.
In fact, you do have a vantage point that affords you this cross-community sort of comparison, doesn't it?
So I'm, as a president this year, I had 2 years running up to this, but I spend a lot of my time on the road. I get a lot of chances to see what I would consider best practices and worst practices in counties across the country. And it's a nice chance. You know, there's 3,069 counties across the country. We have a roughly $500 billion worth of budgeting horsepower, and there's 3.5 million employees. So we really represent a pretty broad cut and a pretty big sector of the country. But we do generally the same thing. Regardless, I mean, in Florida, we're called county commissioners. In Texas, they're supervisors or judges. In California, they're supervisors. In Louisiana, they're police jurors. I mean, there's a lot of different names. We generally do the same thing, though. And as a subset of the state, effectively, I know in my county, at least, you know, roughly 70% of our budget is mandated by the state and federal government. And so we have to do certain duties. But the point is, we ought to learn from each other. And we don't do as good a job, I don't think, in sharing best practices. And so I'm working towards some of that.
And thus far, what have you learned? What are some of the things you think we could be doing better?
Well, I'll give you a good example of something that we brought up. Marianne Lindley, for instance, Commissioner Lindley, who's a great commissioner working with us, went to one of the NACO conferences, and through a conversation and a seminar she went to, brought back the idea for Leon Works, which is how do we take young high school age kids that maybe don't want to go on to college, or maybe that's not the path that's best for them, and there are a lot of non-technical jobs
non-academic, we'd say, maybe.
and that are really struggling to fill the trades.
Big,
you know,
need.
Whether they're building construction or they're catering, or you could pick
even
one of,
nursing for that matter. But in terms of trades and skilled jobs,
so she came back and has had a very successful. We did this just recently for the second year, and it's called Leon Works, and we had, you know, I want to say we had close to 1,000 high school kids show up and actually get some real life exposure to potential career paths.
Fantastic.
And the employers get the chance to pitch their job as well. So you get a connect point there.
And it was fortunate, I think, courtesy of Jim Harbaugh and company, that the folks at TCC, they have that sort of mindset anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very much interested in job and education connectedness.
Yep.
You know, they don't want to just turn out people with degrees. They want to find them position.
Yeah. It's one thing to create new jobs. It's a whole other thing, though, to find the existing jobs that aren't being effectively filled, you know, and there are plenty of those out there.
Right. We've come through this period of time, this last year, that has been highly politicized, an election year, a lot of controversy and all that sort of thing, and I want to get into talking with you about how some of that played out here locally. No want for drama. I mean, come on. If we were going up for an Academy Award here, Tallahassee'd be right in there.
Well, my favorite quote is, "May we live in interesting times," and this is certainly them.
We do that, and in the case of, you know, whether it was the supervisor of, you know, Leon County Schools, if it was the supervisor of elections or the sheriff race, I mean, and you thought, there is nothing on the table that is not going to be highly contested this year. So, folks, strap on, because, you know, it's going to be a rock and roll kind of ride. Yeah. We've got Brian Deloche with us, Commissioner for District 4, Leon County, President of the National Association of Counties. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've got more coming up right after this, so stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wooden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Wooden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Back talking with Mr. Brian DeLoge, Leon County. 10 years, eh? And you're still smiling.
Yeah.
And in spite of the fact that as a community, I mean, we've 10 years.
And we've it's been a good run. And I put a plea out. I always try and put a plug in like this. And I use the story that in our parents' generation, it was considered kind of an honorable, noble thing to hold elected office.
Yeah.
My opinion is, the people in our generation you're finding are villainized, and people either think they're feeding their ego or somehow feeding their checkbook. Mm-hmm. And I worry a little bit that there aren't people that are willing to get in the game. Everybody has an opinion, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to have their version of what they think should be done heard. But I think we're drawing a little short on candidates that are out there. I think there are people that are qualified, that are quality. And if you look at this for the right reason, and it's a public service at its finest,
sure.
I mean, local government, we're where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
But I would love anybody who's out there that's got an interest in public service, call me. I'd
Let's
be happy
talk
to
about
help
that.
You.
If I'm running for a seat on the commission, give me the first three things I need to know.
Well,
your personal advice.
It's more complicated than it looks, no matter how much experience you have. I came into this a little unaware, I guess. I overestimated my own capacity. So it's way more complicated than you would expect. It's a lot of moving parts. Raising money as a candidate is not a fun thing. And there's things like sunshine and financial disclosure, which oftentimes keeps people out of the game.
Hmm.
I look at it and say collectively in Leon County alone, between the city commission, the county commission, and the school board, we have what's approaching $2 billion, billion and a half, billion three quarters, approaching $2 billion worth of total budget. And so this isn't a lemonade stand anymore. And we're writing checks with your checkbook and your money, and we want people to be engaged. And there's a lot of places outside of actually being elected, because there's plenty of committees that are out there that go for want that we would love to see more citizen engagement with. So.
When you look at Leon County's 10 years, what are the things we've done well? What are the things we need to do differently, do you think?
Well, start with
the good stuff.
I'll start with the good stuff. So the county, in my opinion, and I'm not certainly not anything to do with what I added to the mix, but in the 10 years I've been there, we have gone from a, in my opinion, very volatile, very unhealthy, very dysfunctional governing board commission to what I think is a very tight, very collegial, very positive board. We are very disparate in our views, which is the way it should be. I mean, you've got one of the most diverse boards that I've seen in a while, and certainly we didn't come to this with the same set of experiences, yet we all respect each other, and yet we all value each other's opinions, and we come off the dais most nights laughing and cutting up and really enjoy each other's company for the most part. Mm-hmm. And that has changed, at least in my opinion, the tone of governance in Leon County in a big way. So I think we have engaged with Village Square, which is a pet project I'm real proud of, and gotten to use them in an outreach capacity to try and make sure that in the community we're listening to people and we understand what's needed and what's expected and what's their feeling about how we're doing.
Yeah. How could we do better?
So how can we do better? I'll back up for a minute and look at the national level and just give you some ideas of the kind of big, huge national trends and try and boil it down to local. So nationally, the United States today has 5% of the world's population. We have 25% of the world's incarcerated people. We have a criminal justice system that has spun completely out of control. The get tough on crime idea, which is very popular, has gotten a little bit out of hand. And so we need to do a better job of making sure that the people that are in our jails are the people that should be in our jails. And if they're mentally ill, they shouldn't be in our jails. Mm-hmm. If they're low-level, nonviolent criminals, they shouldn't be in our jails. There's a better way to do this. We have roughly at any given time about 1,000 inmates in Leon County, and we spend roughly about $30 million a year to house, feed, clothe, and medicate those inmates. You do the math on this across the country, it is an epic issue. And I'll give you my last little statement here, which I use is, you know, in my opinion, the next civil rights initiative in our lifetime is going to be that there are more poor, minority, unadjudicated people in our jails across the country today than there is in the entire state and federal prison system. So we've got roughly 2 million people in the state and federal prison system. In jails across the country today, we process between 11 and 12 million people. So we are a microcosm of that with the 1,000 people we have in our jail. And you've got people in there that, you know, they it's a moving violation that escalated to some other or a small amount of marijuana or something that's really... There are other ways to deal with this.
And or they had mental health issues and they resisted arrest.
Yes.
And there you go.
Yeah, I'll give Dade County is a shining star in my opinion as far as what they've done with criminal justice. They had 8,000 people in their jails in Dade County. My understanding is their budget was about $270 million just for the jail system down there. One of the news groups did a very scathing expose on the fact that they had 3-4 people in a jail cell naked with human waste on them. And as somebody pointed out, we treat animals in zoos better, but mentally ill people. And so they are now at 4,000 people. You do the math on this, they are closing jails down. And they've got a couple of things, and there was a judge in particular, Judge Lifeman, and there was a commissioner, Sally Heyman, who's a friend of mine, who have collectively driven this. And two things, civil citations, which is the ability of a county to basically change the way they don't decriminalize. That's a misnomer for a lot of people when you hear a county's going to decriminalize pot, for instance. Mm-hmm. No, what they're going to do is instead of throwing you in jail for having a couple of joints, they're going to write you the equivalent of a speeding ticket.
Right. A misdemeanor.
And then the second part of it was crisis intervention, which gives the street law enforcement the ability to recognize what's going on in the mental health world and deal with them more appropriately. It should be in a psych center, should be in a hospital, you know. So there's some pretty easy things you can do working with law enforcement.
I spent many years practicing mental health counseling and family counseling, and my colleagues and I observed, and this is back in the 80s, that for us as a culture nationally, we had turned our backs on mental health, whereby, you know, people who normally would have been housed somewhere and being treated, hopefully somewhere, were no longer.
Right.
And so the influx of the increase in homelessness in some part, and maybe in a large part, came as a result of that. People who can't hold a job because they're psychotic and they can't get or won't stay on the medication.
Yeah, and we're lucky here in this town. I mean, we just built the Kearney Center in the last couple of years, and you know, very generous benefactor with Rick Kearney, who stepped up in a big way and funded the bulk of that, and he continues to have a real heart for the homeless issues and the affordable housing issues, because a lot of the people, if you find out that they're in the homeless shelter and they've got a job, the problem is finding first month's, last month's security deposits becomes unreachable for them. So there's no way to graduate to the next level. So he's actually doing some pretty innovative things with small houses and trying to figure out ways that he can be a little bit more creative to help transition people not only off of the street into the shelter, but from the shelter back into supported living on their own.
Right, working at ground level. You see that kind of cooperation going on. Do you find it disheartening when you have agencies, you have infighting going on during a hurricane crisis, and you got county, city, state, and there's some of that gaming going on.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I mean, there is no win and loss in this, and you get let people's egos get in the way, and you know, it's all tax dollars. At the end of the day, whether it's city tax, state tax, county tax, federal tax, it's tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be the taxpayer's responsibility to figure out how we choreograph and coordinate behind the scenes. And a disaster like we had with the hurricane that came through here is a great example. I mean, at the end of the day, all you want to do is get through it, and in our case, get the power back on, get the roads cleared, and make sure people are back and up and operational.
Do you think there has been then an increase, an elevation in understanding cooperation as a result, or are we just back where we started?
No, absolutely. I actually was head of the Red Cross 100 years ago when Hurricane Andrew came through here and for the local chapter here, the Big Bend chapter. And so I remember that, but it's been 25 years ago, I guess, since we've had a real hurricane here locally of any significance. Right. So it took a little bit of dusting off our emergency operation plan, and there were certainly some things that could have been done better. I think in the end, a lot of it came back to communication and coordination. And the county did kind of a post-mortem breakdown and spent a lot of time and effort going through what did work, what didn't work, what are the lessons learned. And it's a pretty good document that gives us a running start on let's learn from this. Let's not point fingers and say shame on you. Let's just say, look, we could have done this better. How can we do this better?
Cool. Talking with Commissioner Brian DeLoge, you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Brian DeLoge, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks here as we begin 2017. We have a new president, and I'm talking about POTUS. I mean, if we want to talk about presidencies here, Mr. President, Mr. Trump has certainly mystified everybody, I think, including his own party members, as to how in the world he pulled this off. Lots of commentary there, no want for that. But you were one of those who stood up and said, yeah, I think that's where I want to put my vote. And so you went public and said, no, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I'm supporting him.
And it was not the most popular place to be here.
And Michelle Raywinkle, Vasalinda, did the same thing. Right. In fact, she spoke at the rally here in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was a lot of that sort of ire that was raised, right? Because a few of you who have positioned publicly decided to take the position you did. You want to talk about why?
Sure. Well, first of all, I go back to the comment earlier about Village Square. I mean, you know, what people decide to do politically from a support standpoint, in my opinion, doesn't define who they are. So I had a lot of people come at me and say, you must be a bigot, a homophobe, or hate women because this is who you support. And I said, that's you know, nonsense. I said, you know, where I send my children to school and how I cut my hair has no bearing on who I am. And look at the job I've done. But I made the decision to support him mostly because if you cut through all the clutter and you take off all the outside buzz about what does he say and he's offensive, the man has managed to get things done. Mm-hmm. And I'm more interested in moving the ball forward than I am all the window dressing. Mm-hmm. I don't like some of the things he says, but the reality is we're at a point in our country's history where I think we need to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And I think the president, the outgoing president, has done the best job he knew how. I don't know that it would. History will determine whether or not it was the best job. Mm. I think we've got somebody here who has the ability to move the ball forward. He's a little unconventional, and he's going to probably take the path less traveled. But you know, on some level, I'm a fan of our governor here in the state, Rick Scott. I think he's an example of somebody who's managed to move the ball forward.
When you look at how systems work, and you're a man who works within systems all the time, whether it's in business, in politics, in government, in management, the system itself has a kind of momentum to it. So even though he comes into office with these out-of-box ideas, government is still government.
Yeah, there's checks and balances. And he clearly, I think people over-exaggerate the role of the president to some degree. It's not a dictatorship. He's not going to be able to come in and just completely alter the course of history. However, over time, he will certainly have some input. And certainly some of his early cabinet picks and some of his ideas are shaking things up. And I'm okay with that. I think change is sometimes necessary. It's not easy. It's a little painful sometimes. But We shall see. It will be an interesting 4 years at a minimum.
Talking with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, security was a big issue for her, national security. International relations, another big one. Mm-hmm. And she leaned in his direction because she's looking in a very pragmatic way at somebody who takes up for the United States and our position globally.
Yeah. And I think having been in the business world for the bulk of my adult life, coming into the elected political world and people, you know, there's always this drumbeat out there, government should be run like a business. And absolutely there are some principles from business that will parallel and that you will be able to take into that.
In terms of efficiencies and such.
Hiring, firing, managing, business, finance.
And being decisive, perhaps, about things. Yeah.
However, government is inherently inefficient and has a little bit different way to manage. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there, and it takes a little bit of adjustment. I think, you know.
You said earlier, even in your own role as commissioner, you came in overestimating your own ability to make change.
I had sat on boards that had more employees and were larger in scope and scale than the county in the private sector and thought, how hard can this be? Well, it's a little different because in the private sector, you're driving purely at a bottom line number. How do we work towards raising the profit number? In the public sector, we've got an unlimited amount of need and a very limited amount of resources.
Well, there's also this compassion factor, and we talked about homeless people. We talked about people who have mental health issues, being incarcerated. If you're sitting there and you're trying to decide which neighborhood is going to get power first, well, the cold, hard-cut decision says you just make an efficient call here. And if that guy sitting in a trailer over there, for a week is one guy, I can take care of these 800 people.
And it's a balance.
That's a tough call.
And there have been many discussions over the years where I have a disagreement with somebody, and the answer is effectively I have to govern to manage the benefit for the majority, not the minority. And oftentimes there's a minority who feels like, because most decisions we make, there's a winner and a loser.
And it's interesting to me, too. In our family, there are a lot of things that we do that are just traditions, right, and celebrations. And you think, I'm spending all this money. And my wife will look at me and go, and why are you making the money? I mean, what are you going to do? So when we built Cascades Park and then we build this pedestrian bridge, I mean, I can't tell you how many people are like, what a waste of public money. I'm thinking, what do you want to spend it on?
Right. Well, or until you hear people that say, I'm moving to Tallahassee because that's the kind of amenity that they have.
Exactly.
Or that have been in Tallahassee all their lives and come to a concert down at Cascades Park and walk away just stunned that this is their hometown.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I will defend that all day long because of the fact that it really was a stormwater project that we dressed up.
Yeah. So there are those matters that are just strictly about efficiencies, right? But then there's the stuff that says, yeah, what about quality of life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trail system we're building here. I mean, there are some things in our community that really, really are putting us on the map.
I tried to get you involved in this. One of our producers, Andrew Rybeck, actually did a GoPro video of him on his bike on the trail around Lafayette.
Really?
Lake Lafayette. Okay. You know, and I was crediting you for a big portion of that accomplishment. So we were going to get you to go riding with him, but you were off climbing some mountain somewhere.
You know, we've coined the term Trailhassee, and frankly, we've got one of the best trail systems in the country. We're working on a 122-mile called City to the Sea bike trail, which encompasses the St. Mark's Trail.
Goodness.
We're going to potentially add another 10 miles to the Miccosukee Greenway. Hmm. I mean, there's some neat things in the works that will really ramp up.
Speaking of which, what are your pet projects, hope fors in 2017 for Leon County? What are the things that have your attention? You just mentioned the whole trail system.
So the trail system will continue. I think the work we've been doing with Village Square, in my opinion, is kind of groundbreaking in a standpoint of citizen engagement and asking citizens to actually give us some input on what's working, what's not working, and how are we doing, and being a little bit more responsive. It lowers the temperature and the visceral political screaming and yelling.
Right. One of my pet peeves is accessibility. You know, I'd like to see Village Square broadcast live every time on radio, on television. It's costly, but I have a proposal in front of those folks to say, look, I've got a radio station here at your disposal. I won't charge you a dime to do it. And anybody anywhere online can listen in to what's going on at Village Square that night. I think that's a good idea.
I think we actually at one point had public radio pretty regularly doing it. So I don't know if that's a great idea. The more the merrier. And the reality is we have a good following with Village Square. I think we've got a event coming up in a couple of weeks on January the 11th, I think, for race relations, which is a repeat of a very successful one we had a year or so ago.
Right there at the moon.
I think we're getting in front of the issues that are difficult to talk about and putting them on the table. And that brings us together as a community and allows us to work together. I had a commissioner call me from Baltimore after the riots and say, hey, Brian, you've been talking about this Village Square. We'd like to have it up here. I said, well, Helen, I think it's a little late. Mm. I think you would have had this before the riots, and I'm not going to say that it would have kept that from happening, but it would have opened the door to some of those discussions. Yeah. So,
folks, this is why we like it when Commissioner DeLoge is able to be with us, because we learn so much about all the things that we wish we knew, and now we know better. Thank you, sir, for your kind attention and your contribution
Absolutely.
To our success
as
a community.
Love Tallahassee, and it's an honor to serve. Yeah.
So that's what we have for you today, folks. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com online radio. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.